Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and my goal is to help military veterans succeed in their civilian career. Today's episode number 206 with Nick Breedlove.
More and more today, companies, whether they have social entrepreneurship in their core mission or not, they want people that care more about the team and the goals of the team than of themselves. And the first place they look are people that have chosen a life of service up until now, and that's the military. And so when you roll in that diversity of thought, the work ethic, and then the mission-oriented focus of how you live your life, that's a powerful combination of attributes that with a little bit of kind of polishing on sales or on engineering or on high-tech understanding, man, that's a great addition to your company.
Well, if you're aspiring to enter the high-tech industry, TechQualled is designed to help you get there for free. They offer a 7-week program that teaches you the skills you need to succeed in your first job, and they pair you with employers at the end of your training. Nick, TechQualled's co-founder, talks about his experience starting TechQualled, which is also a great perspective for listeners who aspire to start their own company. We talk about training, about the scars of entrepreneurship, about sales and how important this is to entrepreneurship, about education and the trade-offs a degree entails, and much, much more. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Nick. Joining me today in Fort Worth, Texas is Nick Breedlove. Nick, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, Justin. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
So for listeners, Nick is the co-founder and the CEO of TechQualled. TechQualled is the nation's first enterprise dedicated exclusively to training veterans and early in career individuals for customer-facing roles in the high-tech sector. Through a competitive, immersive, and intense training program, TechQualled helps motivated veterans achieve new levels of professional potential in the tech sector. Nick started out at the Naval Academy, after which he served as a helicopter pilot in the Navy for 10 years, achieving the rank of commander while serving as an instructor pilot for a Navy Boeing 737 squadron. After his military service, he got his master's in public administration at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government prior to starting TechQualled. So Nick, to start things off, if you were chatting with someone on active duty, how would you explain... Let me back up. What led you to start TechQualled and found that as a company?
That's a great question, Justin. You know, TechQualled is, as you just described it, it sounds unique, and it is unique because it's very focused. It's very niche of an entrepreneurial effort to kind of bridge a gap. And so when I was in graduate school, I was there with my other co-founder, also Naval Academy guy like us, Justin Osula. He's 2006, and so we were kind of figuring out what the next thing was for us. We were also there with two people who were not getting a graduate degree, but doing something different. They had just left high-tech sales for a full career, so kind of a generation ahead of guys like us. And we sat down one day, and kind of as we analyzed the fact that you have a certain sliver of veterans who want a meritocracy, meaning they want to be compensated for how hard they work and how talented they are. They've got great communication skills, they're very driven, and they want to be in high tech. Now, most of these people don't have kind of hard coding or IT engineering backgrounds, and nor would they even want that. And so it's like, where do you put veterans like that? Well, the industry forever, 40 years say, has loved veteran intangibles. And you and I both know what that means. I think most veterans do too, but they would be work ethic, resilience, teamwork, professionalism, right? And so they would just stick people like us in program manager roles or ops roles or admin roles, but they wouldn't ever get to be the people that get in front of the customers, that have that pressure, they have that exhilarating feeling when they close a deal, and they get the compensation that goes with that. And so what we said is, we know these companies love veterans. We know veterans love high tech, whether it's Amazon Web or old tech like Cisco or little kind of sexier startup tech like drones or cybersecurity or something. All of that is the industry that I'm referring to. And so what we needed to do was we needed to bridge the gap. And so that's why we started TechWorld. It's that simple, it's that small, but it was connecting 200,000 veterans a year, potentially, with thousands of companies, but in a way that we trained people and vetted them for those skills I just described, so that the companies could go, yep, I knew I wanted veterans, now I know I want them for these roles too.
That's awesome. And having spent over 10 years now in technology and in entrepreneurship, I think that there's so much value to those customer-facing roles. And I think that that's, you know, just from my vantage point, the type of role that you're talking about, it builds a lot of empathy for customers. It leads to all the good innovations that have happened at the companies that I've run or worked at have come from those customer-facing roles, where it uncovers a pain point, or it uncovers an inefficiency. It uncovers a product opportunity where a customer is complaining about something and the person who's talking to them realizes, like, hey, we could actually build a product to solve that need. And there's probably a lot of people who have this pain point. So I think that, you know, I view it as kind of the front lines of a company. It's such a great place for someone to start their career, because it builds up a skill set that person will use throughout their career in technology.
Right. Totally agree.
And so back to my maybe original question before I jumped in with another question. So if you were talking to someone on active duty, how would you explain what you do at TechQuald and how they might get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do at TechQuald with respect to a service member leaving active duty, or even one that's left, they didn't know about us, they didn't know about high-tech sales, they didn't know about high-tech, right? They've heard about us since. What we're doing is we have kind of a battery of interviews and tests that we put a candidate through, and we evaluate them for those skills that I mentioned earlier. And then we would offer them potentially a slot at full scholarship, so no cost to the veteran, in our Launchpad Academy. It's 7 weeks. It's a dynamic training program. Some of it is on demand online. Some of it is live and kind of in an online classroom, and then some of it is in person in a hotel room in Texas. It really builds on itself. After that, what we're doing is we're layering on these skills of understanding greater IT, so stuff that in the military we didn't really know much about. I'll say data center, cybersecurity, collaboration, networking, cloud, services. These are words you may have read about in the paper, but we didn't really know what that meant. So we're teaching that part, and we're teaching about the business-to-business enterprise sales motion. So everything from prospecting, as you talk to enterprise clients like the University of Denver or the State of Colorado or JP Morgan's office in Denver, right? So those are enterprise-sized clients that need to buy all those technologies I just mentioned. So how do you get in touch with the people that matter there? How do you hear what their pain points are? How do you talk to them about your solutions? And then how do you close those deals? So we teach that element. They're kind of woven together. So that's 7 weeks. And then we introduce you to companies who, kind of like I said earlier, come to TechWorld and say, I know I want military veterans with those military intangibles. Now I can get them with an understanding of IT and an understanding of the sales motion, and I can put them into these very rewarding customer-facing roles all throughout the industry.
I love it. I think about this a lot. So my background was I did 5 years on submarines, then I went to business school at Stanford, and then I started a company. And I loved Stanford. I loved the business school experience. It's very expensive. You're out of the workforce for 2 years. And my experience was a lot of the skills that you pick up, it's not like the tactics of starting and running a company. And what I appreciate about the work that you and Justin are doing with TechQuald is it seems exceptionally practical. It's 7 weeks long, not 2 years. You are learning the hard skills that you need to succeed in that job, And then you're being directly connected with people who value those skills. So it seems like a very efficient way to dive deep, to get the skills and knowledge you need, and to get that connection to get that job. It's like a boot camp type experience. And I can imagine for most listeners who are in the military, that's really where we excel. There's always things where we are dropped in. We have a short amount of time to learn quickly, to get what we need to do, to get the job done. And it seems like you've built that out really well for people who aspire to go into the tech space.
Right. Absolutely right. And it's even gotten to the point, Justin, where the same companies who wanted these veterans for these roles have said, hey, you guys have figured out how to train people that are early in a career about tech and about sales. So can you train our people too? So now we have these companies kind of layering in a few of their early in career learners with our veterans, which is a great synergy because you create new networks as you go into the marketplace for the first time as a veteran. You get to learn from people that haven't been in the military, but maybe they've been in business already, right? So you're learning skills from them that kind of help you out. So that's kind of where it's gone because of what you just said. It's this compact, dynamic, intense fire hose experience where you're getting the skills necessary to start on day one.
That's great. I mean, when I was reading the intro there and you said, you know, or I said training veterans and early in career individuals, I'd thought about that. And it sounds like as a business, one of the ways in which you've evolved is you're saying, look, we started this company to help a specific niche of military veterans. And then as you grew it, you realize that there is another segment that could benefit from the exact same product and service. And I think that's just a great example for listeners who aspire to entrepreneurship to see that, you know, when you start with an idea with a very specific focus, oftentimes you figure out that you have solved a pain point that others share outside of that demographic, and that's a great opportunity to be able to expand and broaden and grow. And it sounds like that's exactly what you've done.
That's exactly right. I think the only real distinction is that the veterans get it on full scholarship because of what they've done for our country, and then the non-veterans don't. So, but yes, absolutely right. I think you could teach a free market entrepreneurship class right now, Justin.
It's so great. I mean, right before hopping on the phone with you, I was doing another interview with a guy named Mike Stedman. And for those of you listening in real time, Mike's interview came out right before Nick's interview by a couple days. But Mike does this thing called Ironbound Boxing, and he has a for-profit aspect and a not-for-profit aspect. It's this hybrid model. And what I appreciate about what you're doing, Nick, and what you're sharing with our listeners is there is an opportunity to do social good while still being for profit. And I love that aspect where you are, you know, you're helping people who are early in career who aren't veterans, and it's at a cost, but you're providing that same training for free to veterans, which is really incredible to find a way to basically subsidize the benefit that you're giving to military veterans. That's really cool.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think there's an element of that is helpful about going to classes at business school, right? As you learn, there's more than just nonprofit and for-profit. And one of the most eye-opening things, and I'm a huge advocate for, is what you just said, social entrepreneurship. You can be a for-profit company and do social good. And that is, there should be more of those. It is an increasing wave right now, but that's exactly how we feel about our company.
That's awesome. And some of the veterans or people in the military that I speak with are you know, gung-ho, they're going to tear the world apart. And then other people like me, I identify more with this. I was very, not scared, that's too strong of a word, but very hesitant about that transition to a civilian workforce. And there was a lot of doubt of what am I going to do? Where am I going to fit in? Am I going to be valued? And so you spoke about this briefly at the start, but I'm curious if you could share more for active duty listeners, what they need to know about how valuable they are in the high tech industry.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's insightful because a lot of veterans don't ever ask themselves that. They don't ever say, man, what are my skills as a veteran? What are the things I've learned in the last 5 to 10 years of my post 18-year-old life that would be unique and contribute to a certain industry? And I would say that there's three that jump out at me right away. First and foremost, people that come from the military, whether you've been in combat, or you have it, whether you've been aviation or infantry or logistics or submarines, I think you bring a diversity of thought. And that's kind of a seemingly like an esoteric phrase, but you think about problems different than your counterparts who've never been in military situations, whatever those might be. And that is very valuable at the table. You may not be a diversity candidate per se, but you definitely bring diversity of thought of how to solve problems and how to work with teams. Second is a work ethic. There is an element to the greater high-tech world that is very dynamic. It's very growth-based. It's entrepreneurial at the bottom level, even if it's not at the Cisco or Dell or Oracle level, right? Those are very established large companies, but even at those companies, it's very competitive. And so people need to have a certain work ethic as compared to maybe other industries that are a little slower moving, and you kind of plug in and they just churn away the way they've always done. And I don't want to paint too broad of a brush there, but within greater high tech, companies know that people that don't have a consistent and high work ethic just don't last. And so they look to the military for those kinds of people. And so that's kind of special. I mean, here's a little data point. I was on the phone with somebody who works at AWS right now. And
that's for listeners. That's Amazon Web Service. It's a cloud service that many technologies, including my company Storybox and Shotzr and many more, are built in Amazon Web Service or AWS.
Yep. So they're the leading kind of the progenitor of selling the cloud, right? They sold it to everybody from the CIA to Storybox. Mm-hmm. And so I think they've got scores of thousands of employees. And she's been there 6.5 years, and she said she's in the 98th percentile of tenure.
Wow.
You do the math on that. That's not very long. She's not even 30, and she's in the top 2% in tenure at that company. And that's not because it's not a great company to work for. People are fighting to get into that company. It's because it can cause burnout. You need to have a really good work ethic, and the military generally breeds that in people. Third, I would say it's being mission-oriented. More and more today, companies, whether they have social entrepreneurship in their core mission or not, they want people that care more about the team and the goals of the team than of themselves. And the first place they look are people that have chosen a life of service up until now, and that's the military. And so when you roll in that diversity of thought, the work ethic, and then the mission-oriented focus of how you live your life, that's a powerful combination of attributes that with a little bit of kind of polishing on sales or on engineering or on high-tech understanding, man, that's a great addition to your company.
That's great. And I wanted to touch on, we briefly touched on kind of traditional undergrad or graduate school. But if you could share more about the value of vocational training and e-learning opportunities to really increase one's value in the market.
Yeah. So I'm going to use a phrase here that you're building the plane while you're flying it. And so the day your active duty service ends, whether you're a reservist, maybe you're getting a little bit of money there, you're serving some time there, you've got to build the plane, meaning you've got to build your own personal skill sets while you're flying, while you're taking care of your family, while you're entering a new industry, while you're trying to figure out what's next for you. And so a way to do that, and that's why we've seen such a blossoming of these e-learning opportunities, and then, as you said, the vocational training, is because people are able to do these 6-week courses, 2-week courses, 12-week courses that they can pack in a lot, and it really does take them to the next level. Is that for coding? Is that for laying telephone cable? Is that for selling IT? There are courses that are short and sweet and compact and very useful for any industry out there that get a veteran a new level of understanding, learning a new language, getting a qualification or a certification even, that can get them in the door where 6 weeks prior, those same companies wouldn't even pick up that person's application. And so it doesn't have to be a graduate degree. You and I both know graduate degrees from prestigious institutions are very good, generally for the networking aspect of that. You have the time to meet people, to learn from people, and that's very valuable. But not everybody has the opportunity to do that, nor do they have the time. And so I highly recommend finding out what you want to do and then figuring out how you can learn or you can take yourself to the next level in a short amount of time.
And one of the things, so for our listeners, I usually don't have time to connect with the person I'm interviewing beforehand. We talked for the first time on the interview. Nick and I did chat a couple weeks ago and really got energized about what he was doing. And so we talked a little bit about some of these things before. And one of the things that stood out for me with our conversation before, Nick, was we had a discussion around the importance of selling early in one's career. And could you talk a little bit more about why that may be important for listeners to get that ability to sell?
Absolutely, I will. Let me first talk about sales as a dirty word. So when I left the military, getting a graduate degree well into my 30s, I still thought the word sales meant cars and insurance and vacuum cleaners, right? Which is all business to consumer sales. That's a person to a person for one product. It's transactional. It happens one time and it's over. And what I was ignorant of is the business to business sales concept at the enterprise level. So a company selling a very large solution set to a company. And that is a much more sophisticated sale. It's very intelligent people talking about very hard things, but it's also very rewarding financially. It's very rewarding psychologically because you feel like you're helping someone in a large capacity. It's not just one person, it's an entire organization. And therefore you're helping their mission. And so it's just a whole different ballgame. Now, having said that, why is sales important in any career? And it's, you know, if you looked at the CEOs of every Fortune 500 company, all of those CEOs have spent time, years, whether they started out this way or not, they had to do time and do well getting in front of their customers. That's sales. Talking to your to a customer of any type is sales. You can call it any word you want, but you have to understand that to be good at business. I don't care if your business is ice machines or your business is Ford Motor Company or your business is really sexy IT or drones or something cutting edge like cyber, right? You've got to be able to listen to a customer, get on their side of the table and solve the problem. So whether you want leadership or not, understanding business comes from understanding the customer, and you do that by really understanding sales.
And when you and I had spoken previously, one of the phrases I wrote down from our conversation I loved was you said, you know, sales is not just vacuum cleaners and pharmaceuticals. And my experience has been that sales is a dirty word for most people on active duty. I would say that in 10 years of entrepreneurship, 90% of what I've done has been what I would call sales, selling to investors, getting them to invest in my company, selling to venture capitalists, selling to actual customers, selling to employees to join, selling to customers to retain them. It's all sales. And I think it is such a valuable skill. And I think that most people from the military, in my experience, are great with people. And I think that there can be a very easy shift in thinking of rather than selling, which maybe 30 years ago might be viewed more as like, I have something I'm trying to get you to, I'm trying to take your money in exchange for whatever I have. Right. But if you take it more as a relationship, and this is why I think choosing a company is so important. If you love a product or service, if you love a company's mission, it is not sales. It is just share. It is just literally sharing your enthusiasm for something. And I think you can shift it in a way where it's like, what I have to offer can make the world better, or can make this company better, or can make this person better. And then that's it's almost like an altruistic gift. You're literally doing this out of a motivation to help the other person or the organization rather than, you know, swindling them out of money. And so that's why I think that, you know, choosing an organization that you believe in, choosing a product or service that you really do feel like is aligned with your personal values helps, because then it's less about selling and it's more about just offering value.
Absolutely. Could not have said it better myself. Mm.
And one of the things I also really appreciated when you and I had chatted previously is, you know, I've been in entrepreneurship for 10 years. I've got so many scars. I've got so many wounds. I've been beaten up every way possible, made every mistake possible. And I just really appreciated before you were really candid about your scars as well. And just wanted to have you share more about your entrepreneurial experience, the good and the bad, especially for those listeners who aspire to start their own company.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking that. I know not everybody is cut out for entrepreneurship and starting their own company, and that's completely fine. But you all will interact with others who are. And so I think it's critical to kind of understand what they go through. And I would say it's kind of three things here that would jump out at me that I learned. And first is, when you're starting your own enterprise, it's a lot of learning and not leaning. And I define that as, you know, when you go into an existing organization to do a job, to a role, you can lean on other people in the existing organization that already do other roles when you need help. When you're starting your own, you've got to learn about all that. You've got to learn about admin. You've got to learn about marketing. You've got to learn about finance. You've got to learn about sales. You've got to learn about web dev. You've got to learn about it all yourself, because it all rests on your shoulders. And so that, you know, that creates in itself a ton of education, but also a lot of scars, because of course you're going to swing and miss, you're going to screw up, you're going to spend money on things that fail, you're going to have to choose somebody else. And so I'd say that's the first one, learning more than leaning. Second is, money impacts founder relationships, and it does not matter how many founders you have, what the age brackets are, how you met them. You're rarely going to start a business alone and completely alone. You're going to eventually have a team, right? And you have to have money to start a business. It's just that simple. Like you said, whether you get it from venture capital or you get it from angel investors or you get it from your own bank account, money still affects your, what were otherwise really good relationships and can still be good relationships. But I think people shouldn't be starry-eyed or blind to that, is that when times are tough or you have to divert money here and it came from a certain person, that always creates a new dynamic. And I just think people shouldn't ever be blind to kind of the effects that the winding road of entrepreneurship can have on relationships. And oftentimes that comes from the financing around it. And then third, I would say one of the scars that we've seen at TechWell in particular is, we're here to give veterans a free service. And I would say 90 to 95% of those veterans could not be more grateful, could not be more thankful, and do everything they can to pay it back, right? To pay it back to the veterans that came behind them. But what was kind of a body blow from one veteran speaking to another veteran is, the veterans that were in the 5 to 10%, they took something that was in essence no cost to them, and they completely turned their back on the people that gave that. They didn't want to give back after the fact. They didn't want to help that cause. In certain cases, they sacrificed their own integrity and things that they said and did. And, you know, that hurts when you're doing something that's serving another group, right? You're trying to help somebody get to a better place, and then they kind of slap the hand or they bite the hand that fed them, right? So that was a scar. And I think that could be extrapolated out to any industry, is that humans are always fallible, right? And even if we all have the best intentions and we put hope in each other, we're always going to let each other down. And I think if you go in with expectations managed there, then it won't hurt as bad the first time it happens.
That's fantastic. I think that all of that is just spot on. And I appreciate the thought you put into that. I think that all three of those points are just critical. Another thing I wanted to ask about is, you know, when you left the military, you went to the Harvard School of Government and achieved your MPA from that organization. What is your thoughts on the importance of an advanced degree specifically for someone interested in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so my thoughts in general are kind of along the lines of what I said earlier about why you would do an e-learning or a shorter program is you've got to kind of build the plane while you fly it, right? So you can spread that along a longer timeline, so to speak. You go to a one-year program like I did, and go to a two-year program like you did, and you can say, look, give me a little more cushion, but I got to spend a little to a lot more money. Veterans, for the most part, most veterans have access to the post 9/11 GI Bill, officer or enlisted, so they can hopefully fund a lot of those educational opportunities. I would highly recommend that be your first source, but you're still going to have to pay money out of pocket, right? And so, doing the complicated math of, is a 2-year degree, is a 1-year full-time degree, is that worth it? I would say it does buy you time if you don't know what you want to do. It does create very good networks that help you go on to the next thing. If we're talking about entrepreneurship here, help you start a business. It gives you resources at Harvard, at Stanford. There are huge, huge offices that help people start businesses, right? So the time, the networks, the resources, that would be the three things. I've got to give a plug for my degree, because on the surface it's the Kennedy School and it's an MPA, and that's exactly what it is. But below the surface, if you're a veteran thinking about getting a degree, it's pretty unique. It's Harvard's only 1-year master's. It's 12 months. You have to have 10 years of work experience to get in. So they kind of say, all right, we're going to take people in their 30s, and that validates kind of a prereq year of a master's degree. And then they say, we're going to let you rebrand yourself however you want. So you can take any course from any Harvard graduate school or Tufts or MIT. And they only let 100 Americans in a year, and 20% have to be a military background. So they really want the demographic mix the way they have it. Everybody's in their 30s or older, certain portion are military, and you come from all backgrounds to go into anything you want after that. So although superficially it's a Kennedy School of Government and it's an MPA, a public administration degree, I did most of my courses at Harvard Business School and the Graduate School of Economics at Harvard. But I did do some with some former ambassadors and some people that really know about running a political campaign, because I thought I was going to do that someday. So anyway, small plug for that one degree. I think if you're just dead set on being in the greater corporate world or doing entrepreneurship, there probably is no better option than going full-time business program where you get 2 years, the summer in between, and you get all the resources and time around that to just focus on business. I had kind of a I had something a little bit different in mind, because I thought I was going to go in politics someday, and I still might. So I needed to touch that the access to the people that were there with regard to that domain as well.
That's great. And what has been one of the more challenging aspects of starting your own company?
Yeah, so there are a lot of things we've touched on, right? So fundraising, learning all the things you didn't know, like marketing and web dev and some of the other pieces and parts, HR and legal, right? So the good news is we live in the internet era, and we generally come from pretty expansive networks when you come from the military, because you've met people from all over the country and they all have different backgrounds. And so you have things to draw on. And I would say that lessens the blow of just the generic challenges of starting. I think our number one challenge, though, if I could say, looking back 4 years, has been scaling. We, as you know, from being at the number one graduate school of business in the country, Peter Drucker said the definition of entrepreneurship is meeting an unmet need. We met an unmet need with the mission of TechWald. And that was, we were able to prove that to the industry, the veteran side and the IT side, within 18 months. The challenge has been scaling it to affect more veteran lives in a fast way. And so that's probably the number one answer I'd give you.
That's awesome. And one of the things I wanted to ask about too is, and I always think about when I ask this question of someone listening who's deployed overseas or on a ship or, you know, just in a remote place, trying to give them something actionable that they could do today. And so is there any book or podcast or movie or conference or online program that's helped you in your own civilian career that you would recommend to listeners?
Yeah, I think I've got a couple here. So first, I think your podcast is really striking a vein of gold that I think a lot of veterans who are at least entrepreneurially minded or business minded should probably focus on. There's another one for Service Academy graduates called the Service Academy Business Mastermind, which kind of does something similar, really exposes people to all kinds of businesses and industries that are out there that happen to have narratives from Service Academy graduates. But as far as a couple books, one is if you, most of us have this, we've got ideas, right? And we have friends that we know like ideas. And so we have a friend and we say, let's start a business like that, right? So if you're that person listening now, I would recommend the book called Rocket Fuel. And it really goes into the nitty gritty of how team-based business creation should effectively occur, because personalities are always different, and it kind of shows you how there's always one person who's more the idea person and one person who's more the executor, and it really talks about how you can work together most effectively. I think the other one for most veterans, it's a great book, Berman and Knight are the two authors, called Financial Intelligence, and it is a short book, and it is completely designed for people like us that are the operators, or the idea people, or the executors, but we're not the accountants. But especially veterans who, in the military, we just don't deal with balance sheets and operating budgets in the same way that they do in the civilian world. And so what it does, this book called Financial Intelligence, will really give you the terms and understanding behind profit and loss, and balance sheets, and all of the things that we hear our civilian friends talk about without making you fall asleep right away. And so I recommend that to anybody who doesn't have a finance degree or an accounting degree but wants to be in business.
Awesome. And for listeners at beyondtheuniform.io, in the show notes for this episode, I'll have links to all of those books, the Service Academy Business Mastermind podcast. I'm also going to put in a episode that I rebroadcast recently, Jimmy Sopko. He went directly from the Navy to Pinterest. He was in a customer-facing role. He's gone on to great things in the tech world, but I think his story really underscores the work that Nick and Justin are doing at TechQual and the importance of that experience if you're going into the world of tech. So I'll add that episode in as well. Well, Nick, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, and you've provided a tremendous amount of value in sharing about the work you're doing at TechQual, about the high-tech industry, about what veterans bring to the table, as well as a lot of information about entrepreneurship and advice on that. What have we not covered that you would like to share with listeners before we wrap up?
Gosh, that's a stumper right there. I think we've covered a lot in a short amount of time, and that's a credit to you and how organized you are. I think you're doing a great thing for everybody that tunes in to listen to this once or on all of your podcasts. So thank you for doing that. I think what the one thing that is most shocking to me about veterans that come to us is kind of how ignorant most veterans are on the different industries that are out there. I think it just, we, and I say we because I was a veteran that had to transition at one point, we kind of lump it into government jobs or corporate jobs. And of course, it's so much more diverse than that. But what I would encourage people to do is call Uncle John, call your mom or dad, call your cousin, call your friends from the Navy, call your friends from college if you went to college. Figure out and learn, have one-on-one discussions with people about what they do, that people love to talk about themselves. Call them and ask them what they do, and it will help you refine where you know you don't want to go and where you possibly would want to go. And I will say this, that people will always spend 15, 20, 30 minutes on the phone with a veteran who brings a humble attitude and just wants to learn. It's that simple. I don't care where you're calling from. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how much college or not college you have. If you have those two things, a request to learn and a humble attitude, anybody that I've ever met is willing to sit down for a few minutes and help that veteran out. So don't be shy or afraid of that ask, and it will help you refine and understand what your options are.
That's awesome. I love that too. I think that the I think you're right that people are willing to hop on a call like that, and people are very willing to talk about themselves and share their perspective. And I think that's such a great way to just get more data points, get more insight around what might work and ways to get there. I think that's what I try to approximate on the show, but I think it's just If nothing else, it's an example for listeners of an approach you could take in reaching out and getting more information about what you may want to do in your next career. And I think the other thing that stands out to me is for myself, and I would say nearly every person I've interviewed, the way things are today, it seems like the landscape is, it is so rare that someone chooses a job and does that the rest of their career. We are, you know, seem to be about picking up skill sets, getting information, and tweaking one's career choice to better align with who they are or what they want to do. And so the process that Nick is talking about there is one that's not just a one and done. This is something that is done throughout one's career as you continue to get more information and figure out where you want to go. So I think it's such a valuable skill to really get right because you'll use it so much in your career. Nick, I appreciate your time and advice on all this. For listeners, we'll have links in the show notes, but you can also check out all of his work at techqual.com. You can learn more about their organization. You can take advantage of their incredible and free 7-week program, especially if you're interested in the tech industry. So, Nick, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Justin. You're doing a great job, and I hope all the veterans out there appreciate it and they listen to the rest of your podcast out there because there's such a wide variety that are very helpful as they think about what they're going to do next.
Surface.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our Director of Outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our Data Analytics and Insights Advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.